This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of Grant and Danny, a show that has flown by today. It's sad, Grant and Danny. A lot of times we sit here, we have a lot of fun. Today, hopefully, in some way, we're helping you get through it if you were having a tough time, like so many of us, with the death of Kobe Bryant in a helicopter crash in California yesterday. 9 people dying, the name of the pilot and the identity now released as well, so we know all 9 of the people who have passed. But essentially, it was 3 families and a pilot. 3 families on their way to a youth basketball travel game for young girls, 13 years old, Kobe Bryant's daughter. Of course, one of the stars of the team, and Kobe Bryant was the sponsor. I don't know how involved he was in coaching and all those things, but the team was the Mambas, and you'd seen a lot of coverage of his daughter over the last several months. You see this sometimes with these famous fathers.
Yeah.
LeBron James and his kid Bronny, where we find out a lot about the kid and how much they love basketball and how involved they are. And one of the gut-wrenching stories from this is from the 13-year-old Gianna. Used to tell fans when they'd come up and tell Kobe he needs to have a son to carry on his legacy, that she would tell them that she's got it. You know, they don't need a son to carry on his legacy. She'd be in the WNBA, and she'd be, you know, one of the all-time leading scorers at some point in time. But this was one of the stories Kobe told in that regard on late-night TV. I think it was on Kimmel at one point.
It was on Kimmel, yeah.
Do you think your daughter might want to play in the WNBA?
She does, for sure.
She does?
I mean, this kid, man.
She's Wouldn't that be great?
Dude, man, I'm telling you. The best thing that happens is when we go out and fans will come up to me and she'll be standing next to me and they'll be like, hey, you got to have a boy. You and V got to have a boy, man. You got somebody carry on the tradition, the legacy. She's like, oh, I got this. You know, boy, for that, I got this. Like, that's right. Yes, you do. You got this.
I mean, videos like that and the one of him and his daughter courtside talking hoops during a game are just so heartbreaking today.
Yeah,
they're the hardest, the worst to watch.
They are.
Sounds awful to say this, but it's almost easier to accept Kobe's death at 41 tragically out of nowhere because of how much he lived and how much he did and accomplished and experienced. That's 2-3 lifetimes in one. I mean, this guy made it. He's helicoptering around California to get from one business meeting where he talks about being an Academy Award winner to another where he was one of the greatest basketball players ever, to another where he's an author. Your 13-year-old daughter who's got her whole life in front of her, that's the one that's just so tough to get past. Statement yesterday from Michael Jordan on the passing of Kobe Bryant. By the way, we should all be so lucky so that when we pass, the person that we grew up emulating and idolizing and spending more time trying to become professionally than anybody else,
that's a great point,
releases a statement about how much they loved and appreciated what we did. Jordan saying, I am in shock over the tragic news of Kobe and Gianna's passing. Words can't describe the pain I'm feeling. I loved Kobe. He was like a little brother to me. We used to talk often, and I will miss those conversations very much. He was a fierce competitor, one of the greats of the game, and a creative force. Kobe was also an amazing dad who loved his family deeply and took great pride in his daughter's love for the game of basketball. Yvette joins me in sending my deepest condolences to Vanessa, the Lakers organization, and basketball fans around the world. The statements pouring in from all the way up to the last 3 presidents of the United States of America, just to give you a little sample.
A perspective on it. Yeah, I mean, this is global. This is a lot of people cared about this one.
James in Wheaton, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
I'm good. I have a slightly different perspective. I'm actually driving back to work from Morgan Wooten's funeral.
Oh, wow.
And I'm a combat veteran. I've lost friends in training. I've lost friends and teammates in terrorist attacks. I've lost friends and teammates in combat. The only thing you can do to honor your friends and your teammates that you lose is to do your job. Playing yesterday was the absolute right thing. Do your job, honor your friends. If you want to, kick the press out of the locker room. Do your job, honor your friends, and that's what I have to say.
Well, Thank you.
Thank you for your service, too.
Powerful statement. And they did, by the way. They did kick the press out of the locker room, and rightfully and reasonably so yesterday. Mm-hmm. There's no need for everyone to be asking, you know, those tough questions. And not tough, but normal questions that are tough to answer on a day like yesterday about Kobe Bryant. You saw LeBron James when the Lakers chartered plane touchdown because they were in the air the entire time. Now, chartered flights for teams are not like you and me on a commercial flight where you don't have your phone on. I mean, they know exactly what's going on.
Can you imagine the news spreading on that flight?
No. While they're 30,000 feet up in the air, by the way, flying to their destination. LeBron got off the plane clearly visibly shaken. I mean, looked like he was in tears. But we saw dozens of players yesterday overcome with emotion, coaches as well.
And I keep going back to this, that Team USA experience where all those guys got to see Kobe doing what Kobe does.
Yeah, I think that's what bonded them together
most. And LeBron went from, I'm on top of the world, what could you possibly show me? I'm the best player in the league, and he was at that point. Kobe wasn't the best player in the league then. That was a LeBron James best player in the league season or a couple of seasons in a row, right? And watching Kobe work, and he's the unquestioned leader of that team, brought everybody in line, and that kind of gave LeBron the kickstart Generation 2 part of his career as he's continued to dominate and find a way to outwork every single person. And that bond and kinship that they formed really from there, it was, you could see it in just his slumped shoulders and how hard it hit him when he got off that plane yesterday. But that to me is the seminal thing that I'm going to think about when I think about Kobe Bryant. Is, I mean, you know me. I love when you put USA on a jersey. I'll watch it. I don't care what it is. Anything from tennis to baseball to field hockey to softball, soccer, whatever the hell it is. That meant a lot to a lot of people, that Team USA stuff. Some people don't care about it. They like the league or they like, you know, DFS sites or whatever. That's fine. Whatever you root for. That meant a lot to a lot of folks that redeemed team went back and beat some teams that, you know, were kind of chuckling at the United States a little bit, laughing. Oh, this collection of stars thinks they can beat us, a team. And he made them a team. He was the driving force that brought that group together to do something that, you know, not everyone wasn't guaranteed is what I would say.
800-636-1067 if you want to chime in and be part of our show remembering Kobe today. Mo is in Largo. What's up, Mo?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey,
Thanks for taking my call. A couple of points here. One, I believe they did the right thing in playing the games. And here's the reason why, because I guess if you were giving the players the night off to grieve, that's because of a mental or physical state that they're in based upon the way the person who died impacted them. Now, say, for instance, someone like Larry Bird passes, right? All right. Granted, he's touched a lot of people, but I don't believe the reaction from the players that are in the league right now would be the same just because of the fact of the age difference. Like, a lot of these guys didn't grow up watching Larry Bird or, you know, didn't really get to see the greatness or the true greatness of some other players that we would deem worthy of taking the day off for, but they wouldn't. So that kind of leads you down a slippery slope, if you understand what I'm saying. But as with regards to, you know, this man passing, I think we'd just be best served in, you know, just taking the positive attributes that he displayed as a player, as a father, as a mentor, you know, just a motivator of people, and just try to figure out how we can try to integrate some of those qualities in the way we go about living our lives. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate you. It's well said. But Kobe Bryant was only 41, and again, you know, one of the things that I want to keep mentioning as often as we can was there were other people, too, on that helicopter.
Right.
And it wasn't just he and Gianna, his daughter. Because that would be really, really tough today, I think, if you are one of the family members of those other people. You know, because they're literally, in all these stories, seven others. They may not even go into the specifics of some of their names, which is tough. Here's something I want to ask next. And again, at 1:30, Kent Babb, who wrote the obituary for Kobe Bryant in the Washington Post, will join us. Has there been another death of a celebrity, athlete or otherwise, that hit you like this? And what other times when people were lost that you didn't know? You know, it's one thing if you lose a loved one in your family, obviously. But we're grown adults and we're feeling this after someone you don't know died. It's a weird place to be. Who else has hit you either more than you thought it might or in a way that kind of made you stop and remember where you were when you found out that they'd passed? 800-636-1067, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Danny Ruya here for my pals at Ted Burt Ford. They're celebrating over 60 years in the business. Good folks over at Ted Burt Ford have been taking care of folks just like you and me since 1959. I'm a three-time Ted Burt customer. I loved the experience so much the first time I went back when it was time for me to get a car. And then my time for my wife to get her second car, guess where we went? It's Ted Burt Ford. These guys are awesome at what they do. Let them win your business. That's how they've been doing it for 60-plus years in this really competitive area. This is a hotbed for cars, trucks, SUVs. There's so many different places you can go. And what they've been doing for six decades is trying to win business every single day. They do that by treating people very, very well, right? They'll get you 120% Kelley Blue Book value on your trade-in every single day, right? Get you more for your trade. Then they give you Ted Burt for life. That's confidence for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage for stuff like powertrain, great service loaner program, battery replacement, complimentary Virginia State inspection, all for life. Then they'll get you some great deals on cars, trucks, and SUVs, right? Like, I don't know, $15,000 below the MSRP on a 2019 F-150. Or how about $9,000 off a 2020 Ford Explorer? The deals are endless. Go see them and let them help you the way they've helped me. Again, so many other folks in our area. They're in Fairfax, Chantilly. Look away at Tedburt.com. Go and tell them.
I'm just devastated by this news. And to watch him transform his life and career from this iconic player to have an enormous career in the media business, and to see him with his young kids, his young daughters, the joy that was in their eyes looking at their father, who obviously they loved, to the attention he paid to them, to his getting involved in promoting women's basketball. This was a man for all seasons.
The voice of Jerry West, Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. We are taking your calls today at 800-636-1067. Kent Babb will be with us at the bottom of the hour, just after 1:30. He wrote an incredible feature on Kobe Bryant a year ago, where he spent a lot of time with him. In fact, in rereading that piece, the story begins in Kobe's helicopter. And presumably, according to Babb, he said he's 95% sure, the same helicopter where yesterday his life would end shortly after boarding for a trip to go to his daughter's youth basketball game with eight other people. But yesterday, after that story, last year, where he featured Kobe Bryant in basically the second act, where he was now an author and an Academy Award winner and all the things that he wanted to accomplish. And Kobe gave him unprecedented access to hang out with him for several days in two different coasts. He was tasked yesterday with writing the obituary. And his lead was Kobe Bryant, a five-time National Basketball Association champion, global sports icon who retired in 2016 before adding an Academy Award to his considerable trophy case 2 years later. Died Sunday in a helicopter crash northwest of Los Angeles. He was 41.
Yeah, unenviable task of having to do that. But I thought Kent did a great job. He's a great writer, so it doesn't surprise me. But, yeah, looking forward to having him on in a few.
He'll be on in just a bit. So we've asked you, what other celebrity deaths of people that you didn't know hit you hard? It is always weird because you never really know. Like, I love Philip Seymour Hoffman as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of my favorite actors.
He was great.
I was just such a big fan of his.
He was great.
And you find out he dies, and it's so sad. Robin Williams, I know a couple people have tweeted in. That was even probably worse because that was suicide. That was horrendous. But it's people that you watch shows, movies, you welcome into your living room. As I said earlier, they kind of at times maybe get you through a down day because you want to laugh or you want to feel a little bit. And the emotions elicited by their projects do that. Anybody that was surprisingly powerful to you?
Yeah. There's a number that come to mind for this.
It weird that we don't know these people?
Yes.
Really at all, but we feel this way?
I wrote down names. I'd never met any of these people, and they shook me hard. I mean, obviously, Sean Taylor is the one that's going to come to mind for folks here.
No doubt.
That's obvious, so kind of we can move on from there. Actor-wise, James Gandolfini for me. I don't know why it hit me as hard as it did, but it did. I'm a huge fan of his. I thought he was brilliant and an amazing actor. Underappreciated in our time. He was so good on The Sopranos, but in a million other roles as kind of a character actor in a supporting role. Something about him just seemed invincible to me. You know, something about him just seemed like that's the guy that's going to be, yeah, a little bit husky and overweight maybe, but in his 90s still doing stuff. You know, like a la Marlon Brando or somebody else that just sort of is around forever. He was so powerful. And basically all that happened was he ate a lot in Italy. I'm not being flippant about it. It was like he had a bunch of rich foods and all of a sudden his body gave out. And you're just like, what? He was 51 years old. 51. And that took him. And it just, I don't know, it jarred me. Len Bias from when I was a kid. Prince. Because I saw Prince.
Interesting you say Prince, because a lot of the responses I've gotten here on Twitter, I'm at Grant H. Paulson, Danny's at Funny Danny. There's certainly some athletes, but most of the answers I'm getting, and I wonder why this is, are music.
Mm-hmm.
Musical performance.
It's the type of stuff that moves us, you know, that speaks to you. I mean, for me, I was a bigger Michael Jackson fan than I was a Prince fan, just for edification. But I'll never forget that night when I walked into that stupid club, whatever the hell we had to do in Miami for my buddy's bachelor party, and that dude was on stage playing backup guitar for Sheila E. And then he took over and did a two-hour set himself because he was incredible. He somehow made eye contact with everyone in the room. I've never seen talent like that up close. He played for, you know, what it was, like 600 people, just a little nightclub, and he was there to support his bandmate on her headline. And he was like, I figure I'll just play a little bit and give these people the story of their lives.
Yeah.
So that one, I thought he'd be a guy that would be 110 years old just showing up at the Grammys and just waving and then, you know, ripping a guitar.
I think a lot of it has to do with, particularly with musicians, you feel like you know them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they're, at least in our minds, they're kind of pouring their hearts out, their open books in their music. You listen to it, you know about them. But you're right, there's also just an emotional connection. Music mm-hmm. is so emotional. Sports, maybe less so to an extent, but you feel like you know these guys, especially in this era. You know, if you talk about Kobe Bryant, he largely played through a social media era, through a ubiquitous 24-hour news cycle era where everything is always public and everyone knows everything about you. The good, the bad, the flaws, the times that you've made good decisions and bad decisions, it's all out there. It makes you a little bit more human, but we know everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's when people feel like they know you, that's where that connection comes from. You know, think about the number of people, even where we're lucky enough in this job, where they come up and they'll ask us about our kids or, you know, the food that we tried a week before, something
like,
talked about on the air. But if you're listening to the show every day for a few hours, you know, you pretty much know us. We're not hiding much. I mean, there's we're just talking about our lives. I mean, so there's a connection to people, even if it's not two-way, even if they're not communicating back with you, where, you know, growing up listening to folks on the radio or watching on TV, you feel like you know them. Richard is in Haymarket on Grant and Danny. What's up, Richard?
Hey, what about Muhammad Ali?
It's a good one. You know, the only reason I would even put that in a different category maybe is because of his age and health. Doesn't make it any less sad, because I remember when he died, what an unbelievably big sports story that was. I don't remember the specific age, but he was older, and he'd obviously had failing health for many years.
All I'd ever heard, though, was stories.
Yeah.
I remember every shot Kobe took. You know, I didn't watch every Laker game, but you see my point. I remember every finals. I don't remember any Muhammad Ali fights.
I just think this was so sudden.
Yeah.
You know, 41, the last time I saw him a week ago on TV, he could have probably gone and jogged a marathon if he wanted to. He was the prime of his career. He looked better than ever.
Yeah, the comp for this, again, is from when I was a kid, is Len Bias. I mean, I was my son's age. Right after the draft, this guy was invincible. This guy was going to take the league by storm. They didn't have many of these guys. Dude that was 6'8", could jump out of the gym, could do everything on the court that you would ever want. He was going to be a superstar. And that was it? Like, wait, what?
Bill's in Centerville. Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
You're on the radio. Go ahead,
buddy. Hey, thanks, man. Hey, you just mentioned it. I was going to mention Len Bias. I remember exactly where I was when I heard it. I was driving my van, and I heard the news, and it was just tragic. And then after I was just saddened, I got really angry just at the whole drug culture, drug scene for taking a guy out like that. So that was just one that hit me really hard.
It's a good one. You know, that predates me. I don't mm-hmm. have – I have the file I have on that is through documentaries and films,
right,
and, you know, TV shows and things like that. But it's not something I lived through, obviously, but it's an answer that it certainly in this area more than mm-hmm. anywhere else.
Oh, without question.
Works. Sean Taylor's the same way. I did live through that one and was right there front and center for it. And that was I mean, still to this day is tough to think about. Some of the answers that I'm getting here on social media the most, people saying Princess Diana. I remember where I was. I didn't even know who she was at the time. But I remember my mom and dad's reaction, specifically my mom. I remember her being emotional and exactly where I was when I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
John Lennon, some people are saying in terms of the past. More recently, Anthony Bourdain. Dale Earnhardt. And that was, that's the equivalent of dying during a game, basically. That was a crash. That was at the Daytona 500, was it not?
I think so.
That's their Super Bowl.
Right.
Race.
I mean, Hank Gathers, I remember collapsing, just stuff like just how sudden. Gosh, it was hard.
800-636-1067. You want to reminisce with us about other times you were hit by a celebrity passing that you didn't even know. Kent Babb wrote the story on Kobe's life for the Washington Post. He'll join us next on The Fan. Kent Babb is an award-winning writer with the Washington Post, and he's written many great stories. One of his stories over the last couple of years that I still can recall and remember reading, which was so good, was when he got pretty unprecedented access to Kobe Bryant to write about the second act of his life post-career. He wrote that story and then was tasked yesterday, less than a couple of years later, with writing an obituary for Kobe Bryant, stunningly and tragically. After his passing at 41 years old, Kent is with us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Kent, why don't we start with, I guess, that original story you wrote, and let's go back to that. People can read it. I know that it's pinned on your Twitter account, at Kent Babb, right now. But that story actually opens in a helicopter, presumably the one that he was flying in yesterday when his life came to a tragic end. I mean, tell us about that story and the time you spent with Kobe.
Yeah, and thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. One of the things I'm sort of dealing with is the fact that I'm pretty sure that's the exact same helicopter that I rode with him on. I mean, I don't know that, but, you know, like every tail number that I have ever Googled, even going back to when I was profiling him, was the same as the one that went down yesterday. And so, I mean, the day that I rode with him, and I guess I should point out that, you know, Kobe's most preferred means of transportation for reasons of efficiency and also because he thought it was badass, was helicopter. He just liked going from Orange County, which is in southern L.A., to Lakers games and practices, which is more or less downtown, and then kind of sometimes up north. And so he just thought it was cool, and it, you know, gets you where you're going faster. And so the day that I rode with him, the conditions were perfect. I mean, just like kind of an early morning flight, just like yesterday, Kobe rolled in late. You know, we just got on the helicopter, something he does all the time. And, you know, we were in the air for maybe 15 minutes. It was some press conference at the Lakers facility that day. And, I mean, it's just very bizarre and a little difficult for me. I mean, I don't really get that close to the people that I'm writing about. But just the fact that I was on that helicopter and maybe the same one and sort of thinking about, you know, what those last moments would have been like. I mean, it's been pretty tough. And so, you know, certainly replaying, you know, my day in the chopper with him. And of course, like, I mean, we made jokes about it. I mean, you know, he had a name and sort of a backstory for everything. And I mean, he called it the Mamba Chopper. And, you know, on his last game, I believe it was Nike that sort of had it decked out in like a snake pattern, like a wrap. And, he was proud of that. He thought it was cool that, you know, he took a chopper somewhere. And like the fact that he named it, you know, and like he said that he came up with some of his stories. That he was in the process of sort of overseeing books and movies occurred on these like kind of come down rides from the Lakers facility, like during after a practice, he would be heading back home and just sort of looking down. And this is part of the top of the story that I wrote, but sort of looking down at all the houses and realizing that in every one of those houses, there's a family, there's people, there's thoughts, there's desires, there's ambitions, like every little house down there, you know, has its own little tiny drama. And then like you look at a neighborhood and then, I mean, suddenly you're talking about, you know, almost like a, you know, a Westeros and Game of Thrones. And like, that's kind of how he came up with his little universe of stories, which he called Granity. So I mean, the helicopter, you know, for my story and certainly in Kobe's life, you know, I thought it was cool myself just to ride with him in a helicopter. Certainly never thought this was going to happen and 100% never thought that, you know, a little over a year after writing this profile, that I'd be sitting in my chair yesterday writing an op-ed.
Kent Babb is with us from the Washington Post, and you could see his story on Kobe Bryant. It's pinned to his Twitter account, at Kent Babb, and as well as the obituary. And Kent, you're a terrific writer. I'm not just saying that because you're on, but you are. And where I'm going with this is I don't know how I would have sat down and tried to write that obituary. How do you explain this to somebody? How do you explain this life if you go, well, this guy was a really good basketball player? Well, there are a lot of really good basketball players. If this was different, how did you go about quantifying why this was different?
Yeah, to your point, I could probably easily sit here and tell you that, you know, I'm a professional and this is what I do, and I sit down and lock in, and, you know, usually that's the truth. I mean, yesterday I was outside washing my car, and, you know, my wife comes outside, my phone had been blowing up, and, you know, my best friend had texted me and said something about Kobe being in a helicopter crash, and, you know, so I ran inside, and, I mean, honestly, for the first, man, I bet 2 hours I was just in a fog, you know, just sort of thinking about, oh, my God, like, how does this happen? Like, how does Kobe Bryant die like that? And, you know, how does somebody who has, you know, infinite resources, and, I mean, he's like a superhero, and, like, this is how? I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, it sort of made me feel kind of insanely mortal. And, I mean, if Kobe can die like that, you know, this gets a little depressing, obviously. But, I mean, like, these are the things that were going through my head yesterday. And just, you know, trying to sum up, you know, what was a brief but just kind of extraordinary life. I mean, this guy, you know, won an Oscar. He won 5 NBA titles, you know, an MVP. He won, you know, it just sort of goes on and on. I mean, he was worth $500 million. I mean, he was going to produce movies. And so, like, you know, the way an obit is generally, I mean, I called up the Muhammad Ali obituary that the Post had written a few years ago, just to sort of try to get, you know, an idea of somebody who accomplished so much and was known for so many things, including some controversial things, and, you know, try to understand. I mean, this is an icon we're talking about. I mean, a global figure that people know the world over. I mean, it took me a long time, I mean, to put it one way, and, you know, I was in my little writing hole in my basement, and my wife brought me, you know, snacks to keep me, you know, kind of going and stuff like that. And I bet it took me 5 hours to get, you know, what that story turned out to be. And I hope it's coherent, but for a while I wasn't sure that was going to happen.
At Kent Babb on Twitter, if you want to read it, and it certainly was, and it was a job well done. When you spent time with him on Two Coasts and, you know, for your story that you did a year ago, kind of riding around and following him in his second act, so to speak, what'd you take away from that? I'm curious, you know, how much his family was around during that time, his daughters, and then also kind of what his plans were moving forward, because it seemed like his admiration for Michael Jordan didn't stop on the basketball court. It seemed like he really wanted to build an empire.
Yeah, but in a very different way. I mean, Michael, you probably know, I mean, he sits on the Hornets, you know, in a seat at the court, in courtside, and, you know, basically goes and plays golf and puffs on cigars and, you know, enjoys the life of being a rich guy, you know, a rich icon. Kobe wanted to sort of be in it. I mean, he wanted to manipulate. He wanted to pull the strings. I mean, like, he was at his office every day at 8 a.m. I mean, he's usually the first person there. You know, he didn't sleep very well. And, like, I mean, there's probably a million debatable reasons why that was, some of which I got into in the profile, just, like, what is keeping this guy, you know, kind of restless. But, I mean, he and I talked. I mean, he's a huge nerd. I mean, like, the thing that I kind of liked about him is that, you know, Grant, you and I used to talk about some of the same stuff at the Skins facility that me and Kobe talked about. I mean, card tricks and movies and Star Wars and Game of Thrones and stuff like that. I mean, like, he was into that stuff. I mean, he had strong opinions, you know, about, you know, the Avengers. And I didn't talk to him, you know, after Endgame came out. But, I mean, after Infinity War, he hated it and thought, you know, had, you know, really strong opinions on why he hated it. It wasn't just like a movie. It was something that he wanted to sort of be in on. And, you know, I'm writing a story right now that should publish sometime this afternoon and in print tomorrow about, you know, he and I talked about being daddies of daughters. I mean, I have a daughter. She's 2.5. He had 4, 3 at the time when I was with him. And, you know, it's just sort of this, it's silly, I guess, but, I mean, it feels like this little club. And, like, he was asking me what you ask about having a daughter. And my kid was about 1 at the time, and just how she's sleeping and what's, you know, what are you doing? I mean, it was just sort of amazing, like, how human he was. I mean, this is one of the most famous people in the world. And we're sitting there talking about stuff that I would talk to my next door neighbor about. It's just strange, you know, and I sometimes had to remind myself who I was talking to.
That's crazy. Thinking about Kobe Bryant breaking down the 6-month sleep regression with a fellow dad. It's just, it's nuts. Kent, great job on both the pin story that folks should go see at Kent Babb, and again on the obituary. Not easy, man, but you handled it with grace and aplomb. Well done. Thank you, buddy.
All right, fellas. Thank you again. Have a good one.
You got it. Kent Babb of the Washington Post. Again, at Kent Babb on Twitter is where you can find those stories. We could wrap up the show with a couple final thoughts from those of you that want to hop in at 800-636-1067. Next, right here on Grant and Danny. There's highlights of the
like
Pro
that?
Bowl on. That was pretty good. There's highlights of the Pro Bowl on right now on TV in studio. It's the first clips of the Pro Bowl I have seen since it happened.
Not doing a bit. I actually just now remember the Pro Bowl was on yesterday. I see the color uniforms they're wearing. That's interesting.
Yes, I have not seen second one of it. Looks like they're doing it after a sack from Za'Darius Smith, maybe a Kobe tribute and celebration, which is cool. But yeah, I didn't watch any of it and probably would have, honestly, had things gone different yesterday. But after what went down with Kobe, I basically, by last night I worked, I got home, and I needed just to watch something funny. So I looked for a comedy on Netflix. I ended up watching the first couple episodes of The Office.
Right on.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I'll watch the pilot and the second episode of The Office and let that wind me down tonight. Because I just wanted, like I said, I wanted to unplug. I got off of social media during my trip to the Dominican Republic for the most part, and that was pretty therapeutic. Yesterday was a nice way to get back into it just because everyone was pretty much being decent human beings to each other.
Right.
Which was good. But, man, has this been just a brutal 24 hours for sports fans all over the country. Darren Haynes of WUSA TV9, local sports anchor, is on the line. Gave us a shout. What's up, Darren?
Hey, Darren. How are you, buddy?
What's going on, you guys? I had to call in just listening to you guys and just hearing people reflect on different stories. I was just like, this guy Kobe touched so many lives where, you know, my heart and stomach still hurts to the right now. It's still unbelievable that this actually happened.
It's nuts, man. You know, when you heard for the first time yesterday, I mean, you know, you're 38. I mean, I'm 31. Danny's a couple years older than you are. You know, I just felt like Kobe was one of those guys, Darren. You tell me if you think I'm crazy. Like, our generation, 30 years from now, when some dude's in the dunk contest who hasn't been born yet, Kobe would be there with his white hair. He'd be like Dr. J sitting, you know, holding up
the
10
sign. He's holding up the judge sign, exactly.
You know, that's kind of how I viewed it. I thought Kobe would be here forever.
Yeah, he was definitely one of those generational guys, which we were in that particular generation. I was lucky enough to kind of live out Michael Jordan's career and Kobe Bryant's career, and those are the two supreme athletes that we had growing up, and the way he just changed the game and copied all of Jordan's moves. I mean one of the stories, I had the privilege of actually doing Kobe Bryant's farewell tour, his final game, when I was at ESPN, and we were doing the whole pregame show leading up to Kobe, and we're just talking about all those particular moments. So many people showing up to the Staples Center just to see Kobe, and that was one of like my greatest moments as a broadcaster, to be able to do Kobe Bryant's final game right before it started. And I can remember after that pregame, driving home and watching the game on the ESPN app while driving 2 hours, seeing him drop 60 points, and I was just like, wow, that is just the way to go out. And to have his life taken from us, when people always talk about what do you do after your professional career. I mean, this guy had such a bright future. We saw a part of Kobe that we never saw before, just him as a dad. You know, I have a daughter of my own, and I just to see those moments where he's sitting next to his girls, and especially Gigi, teaching her the ins and outs of basketball, seeing those father-daughter moments that probably inspired so many people like myself who's a father, to see that taken away. We didn't get to see him grow up to then be that granddad. You know, maybe he's at the slam dunk contest with the gray hair and he's a papa. We missed out on that. That part was taken away for us to witness.
It's a shame. I'm glad that you called, though.
And thank you, buddy.
Reminisced a bit on getting to cover that final game. But, man, it is. It's just a sad couple of days. We'll be watching tonight on Channel 9 to see how you guys continue to cover this, Darren. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys.
Absolutely. Right after the Grammys last night, it was the first kind of batch of local news I'd seen because the Grammys were on CBS and it went straight into Channel 9. And they obviously were kind of wall-to-wall with something that transcended sports to news, which didn't surprise me. But they had the news anchors out and about getting reaction. And, you know, rather than being at the desk with reading the teleprompter, as is typically the case, you know, you're standing up with a big photo of Kobe behind you. It was getting the, you know, celebrity death kind of remember where you are.
Sure.
Because we'll never forget it treatment.
Speaking of that, ESPN just announced they're going to air Kobe's final game tonight at 9 p.m.
Oh, wow.
I think that's a nice touch. I think that should be really cool.
That will be a fun watch.
Tell you what I'm going to be doing tonight. I mean, it's
50 shots. So he's got the ball in his hand pretty much that
entire
game.
Guess who shoots this possession, buddy? Yeah, it's me. Kobe and I have the same birthday. So he's exactly 1 year older.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's again, these little things about like remembering these little weird snippets. I think my birthday this year is going to be really weird because I'll be exactly Kobe Bryant's age. You know, just that sort of stuff is just, you know, you try to keep people's legacies alive. And you try to think about stuff instead of just the immediate moment. And, you know, you want to move on, but at the same time, you want to keep people that were special, sort of their memories going. I think I'll probably have a moment of reflection this year.
Well, I tell you what. You know, it was not the most fun 4 hours we've done, but hopefully you guys got something out of it. And it was great to hear everybody's thoughts, get their calls and their reactions to what happened. A huge thank you to Kent Babb of the Washington Post and Rick Bucher of our radio.com sports NBA insider. Not an easy day to come on as a guest. Thanks to those of you guys who chimed in as well, either on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson.
Had fun today for me.
Or on the phone. Really, really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back at it with a more normal show tomorrow. Hustle and Glow. And now our watch.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.